Welcome back to our study of Christian beliefs as we now go into chapter 13 and we ask and answer the question, what does it mean to become a Christian? Now, that may sound like one of the most fundamental and core beliefs. Let me just explain to you a few aspects of what it means to become a Christian and let Mr. Grudem walk us through this process. You might be surprised to learn a few things with greater clarity that I pray will not only give you a deeper and better focus, but a deeper and greater faith. Let's go in. What does it mean to become a Christian? Well, we need to understand the role of God's calling. And we'll begin by looking at what theologians call the effective calling. The calling in Romans 8:30 is related to those who were predestined and who became justified. It is a calling that came specifically to all who are believers in Jesus. An effective calling is the calling that ultimately is going to end up with the effect of one becoming a Christian. Again, this will make a little more sense, I hope, here in just a moment. This kind of calling is a summons from the King. Amen. This kind of calling, an effective calling, is a summons from the King of the universe. It is a summons that cannot be denied, and it brings about the desired response in the people's hearts. This calling is an act of God the Father, speaking through the human proclamation of the gospel, in which God summons people to himself in such a way that they respond in saving faith. You get it? So this is God Almighty calling in a way, an inner calling that for some, the elect, the predestined, they will respond and cannot choose otherwise if in fact God has chosen them from before time began. Now, we see this laid out. It's a strong and important doctrine that we see laid out in 1 Peter 2:9. 1 Corinthians 1:9, Acts 2:39, 1 Thessalonians 2:12, 1 Peter 5:10, 2 Peter 1:3, Romans 1:6 and 7, 1 Corinthians 1 verse 2, 1 Corinthians 7 verse 15, Colossians 3 verse 15, Galatians 5 verse 13, Ephesians 1:18, Ephesians 4 verse 4, 1 Thessalonians 4:7, 1 Peter 2:20 and following. It's 1 Timothy 6:12, again, emphasizing this point. You see, friends, there's a difference between an effective calling and a general calling, especially when it comes to our understanding of what it means to become a Christian. Grudem says there is a broader sense of calling that refers to the preaching of the gospel that goes out to anyone. This is sometimes called the external call, or again, the general call. Anyone who's heard the gospel has heard a calling. The gospel goes forth, and this call goes forth through human preaching. That's 2 Thessalonians 2:14. This is why we're called to go and proclaim the gospel to all the world, so that all will hear the invitation. This is why it's important that we boldly proclaim the gospel message, trusting that God will, through his effective call, do what he did with Lydia in Acts 16:14. There we're told that she heard the call and then, quote, the Lord opened her heart. The Lord opened her heart. Not all gospel calls will be effective. We need to understand that. Not that we're not effective in how we share, but it may not be an effective call where somebody will repent and believe. You see, the job of the Christian is to explain the gospel message, and it's God's job to make the call effective. We do our part, clearly proclaim and explain. God does his part with the miraculous transformations. And who that happens with is up to God. That's not our part. You see, not all gospel calls will ultimately be this effective call. No. Now, with that understood, then we need to be sure to have clarity on what is the gospel call. Grudem says there are three key elements that should be a part of every gospel call: an explanation of the facts concerning salvation, an invitation to respond to Christ personally in repentance and faith, and then a promise of forgiveness and eternal life, that which comes with the effective call and transformation. You see, to those who respond in faith to the gospel call, God promises that their sins will be forgiven and that they will experience eternal life with Him. That's John 3:16 and John 6:37. Now, this is where I call this the MMM process. This is where we explain the miracle. And the miracle is that we're dead. Ephesians 2 makes it clear that we start dead, and dead people don't make decisions. Dead people don't initiate anything. Dead people can't do anything. It's only through the miraculous work of God's initiating, God's drawing, God's infusing of the seeds of faith and repentance that will ultimately be given back here in a moment. Let's go forward. Grudem says that after the invitation to respond to the gospel is given, God must bring about a change in an individual's heart before he or she is able to respond in faith. That's the miracle. That's the miracle God must do. God must act upon. God is the initiator. God is the power. God is the grace giver. That change, a secret act of God, that's what Grudem calls it. I call it a miracle. Grudem says that change, a secret act of God, in which He imparts new spiritual life to us, is called regeneration. We play no role in this regeneration. It is completely an act of God. This is the miracle of God initiating now what will become shortly justification. This change of heart is described in Ezekiel 36:26. It's the promise that God will change our old stone hearts and give us hearts of flesh that can respond. This instantaneous event changes everything. 2 Corinthians 5:17, you become a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. Amen. This change, although not always immediately realized, results in a transformed heart that leads to a transformed character that produces a transformed life. All areas of life are changed here. A regenerated individual should expect a new love for God and God's people, Matthew 22:37-40. They should expect a heartfelt obedience to God's commands, John 14:15. If you love me, you will obey my commands. And a new Christ-like character that we see, as Paul explains in Galatians 5, and what we know of as the fruit of the Spirit. Now, how is this call responded to? Once God has summoned through an effective call and changed a person's heart through regeneration, the necessary response is repentance and faith. The gospel call requires a personal response. This willing, personal, individual response is called conversion. True saving faith includes knowledge, approval, and trust. If I have true saving faith, I no longer simply believe facts about Jesus. Instead, says Grudem, I personally trust Jesus to save me. We do not just believe Jesus, that is, believe that what he says is true. We have to believe in him, that is, put our personal trust in him and depend on him. This trust involves two aspects, repentance and faith. Acts 20:21 and Hebrews 6:1. See this, regeneration brings the miracle in and God starts the work. Where there's regeneration, we're going to get to justification and we'll go home to glorification. But see this, we have an acting upon us with the miraculous work of God that's about to be consummated with repentance and faith. Grudem says repentance means a conscious decision to turn away from our sins, and faith means turning to Christ to forgive those sins. Admitting that we can't save ourselves and at the same time believing that only Christ can. This is what happens when the activation and the transformation of that faith and repentance kick in. Grudem says that repentance and faith are really two sides of the same coin. See the amazing grace of God, the miraculous work where He comes, acts upon us as Christians, gives us in this acting upon, brings to us a repentance and faith in this regeneration, in the beginning of the miracle that is going to be consummated, and we'll see this in our next chapter when we look at justification. We're going to see that the regeneration, the beginning of the miracle, is going to be consummated in justification when we give back to God our repentance and our faith. And in that moment, regeneration will become justification. Amen and amen.